Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Eisenberg Sausage Company is proud to be the official hot dog of the Cincinnati Bengals. Next time you're at Paul Brown Stadium, treat yourself to a delicious Eisenberg Black Angus Sirloin Beef Hot Dog. The Black Angus Frank is the best tasting hot dog you will ever eat.
Real people steal people. From full-time professionals to weekend warriors, they trust steel and the support of servicing steel retailers. This season, hardworking steel blowers start at just $139.95. Plus, get the MS-180 chainsaw for just $199.95 with 16-inch bar. See retailer for details. Real people steal people. Join us. All prices be ESSRP at participating retailers while supplies last.
Your Cincinnati Bengals support Hawksworth Blood Center. Don't be the missing type. Call 513-451-0910 or visit hawksworth.org and schedule your life-saving blood donation today. At Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill, we are reimagining the movie theater experience. Visit us at the corner of Kenwood and Cornell in Blue Ash on Wednesdays from 6 to 8 for Bengals Game Plan, hosted by Dave Lapham and Dan Horde. Be sure to spend game days here, too. Watch the Bengals games in our 200-seat bar and grill with 50 TVs and 40 beers on tap. See you there. Check us out at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill in Blue Ash.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs.
This is Bengals Game Plan on the Bengals Radio Network. Brought to you by Bud Light. Raise one to right now. This is the Bengals Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bengals Game Plan Show presented by Bud Light here on the Bengals Radio Network. We are live at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill in Blue Ash at the intersection of Cornell and Kenwood. Not only Cincinnati's nicest movie theater, if you haven't seen Rogue One yet, this is the place to see it with motorized reclining seats and in-seat dining. In addition to that, it's a great restaurant. Before or after the movie, you can have a bite to eat. You can have a cold beer from one of their 40 taps. Great place to come out and have lunch, and a great place for us to host this show. We've been here on a number of occasions this year and happy to be here tonight. And hope you'll join us between now and 8 o'clock because, in the spirit of the holiday season, Dave Lapham,
yes,
we have 10 pairs of tickets to give away.
Got
to
love that. Against the Baltimore, 14 pair? 14 pairs
14
of tickets.
Nicole of tickets.
Just moved it up.
All right. Bengals intern Nicole just updated the number to 14 pairs of tickets. Nicole has the raffle tickets, so as you enter Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill tonight here in Blue Ash, make sure to get your ticket from Nicole, and we will raffle them off over the course of the next 2 hours.
Yes.
Shall we start with the news of the day, Dave Lapham?
Let's do it, Dan.
That is the Wednesday afternoon injury report. Mm-hmm. Some interesting names on the list for the Bengals today. First and foremost, Vontaze Burfict. He did not practice today. The injury listed as knee/concussion. And I know people are immediately going to say, wait a second, concussion? He got examined last week. He went back into the game. What happened? Well, here's what happened. He got examined. He passed all the tests. You can't fake the test. You can claim to not be feeling badly.
Right, right. But
you can't fake passing these concussion tests anymore. But a few days later, he came into the Bengals facility and self-reported that he had had some concussion-like symptoms after the fact. That's how he winds up on the concussion list today and in concussion protocol.
Right, and there's, you know, independent neurologist that's at the game, and that's the one that when he went into the locker room with Dr. Galloway, he passed the test. You know, they have baseline information that they get in normal stage of, you know, no concussion effect whatsoever, questions and that sort of thing. They establish a baseline, motor skills, questions, and they formulate a test that the player has to pass. And he passed it when he went into the locker room, came back out and played. Probably a lot of people were surprised based on how he looked going into the locker room, but, hey, you know, he passed the test. So everybody's going to be, well, did he fudge the test? Did he fudge the baseline? I mean, you know, there's – nothing is perfect, obviously, But the fact is, sometimes you can have delayed symptoms in with any kind of an injury, really, and as well with concussion when you're dealing with a brain. I mean, that's probably, I would say, medically, less is known about the brain than almost anything else in the human body, really.
Yeah, I'm with you. So it'll be interesting to see if that can be rectified in time for Saturday night game. It certainly makes it less likely.
Makes it less likely for sure. You know, in protocol, if we're a Sunday game, obviously we give you the extra hours there. But that one's a difficult one. The knee as well. I did see him when he came back out on the field. I did see him when he started the little bit of a striding action away from Dr. Galloway. He kind of broke it down, choked it down, and started limping a little bit. I did notice some limping, but obviously, you know, you get in a game and the adrenaline's flowing and everything else, and then after the game, you have overnight swelling maybe the next morning, another day goes by, hasn't really gotten any better, so he's dealing with a couple of issues, no doubt.
More on the injury list momentarily, but right now let's pause for traffic and weather together. Dan Orton, Dave Lapham back at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash. Come out and join us. You could win tickets to the Bengals game against the Ravens to wrap up the regular season. On New Year's, we have 14 pair to give away during the course of our two-hour show tonight. We were talking about the injury list and the fact that Vontaze Burfict did not practice today. He was hardly alone. Clint Bowling, Tyler Eifert, Alex Erickson, Jeremy Hill, and Tyler Croft all absent from practice today.
When you look at it, Uzama is coming off a calf injury, so he's not quite right. Croft with a knee and ankle injury. Tyler Eifert with a back injury. So if that crops back up again, obviously that was an issue for him when he was trying to come back from his foot and ankle problem. Ryan Hewitt be the only guy that, you know, if the game were tomorrow, that you could say would go out there and line up and take some snaps at the tight end position. So that position group's pretty beaten up. Alex Erickson is non-football injury, so it might be an illness of some sort or something like that, I guess. Michael Johnson went limited with that shoulder. But, yeah, a lot of guys, a lot of new names on the list, that's for sure, Dan.
Then there's A.J. Green. A.J. did participate in practice today, officially listed as limited. That was the case last week, and A.J., of course, did not play. But the vibe in the locker room today is that his teammates expect A.J. Green to return this Saturday night against the Houston Texans. Let's hear from fellow wide receiver Brandon LaFell.
It's real impressive because, man, if you look around the league, it's a lot of guys that if their team was out of the playoffs, injured hamstring, they would have shut it down. But this guy here, man, even though we're not going to be able to make it to the playoffs, he's still fighting, rehabbing his tail off, and he's finally going to be back this week. He put a lot of work in over the past 3 weeks to get back with his team and come out here and lead us. So I respect that man a lot for that.
Sounded pretty definitive from the lips of Brandon LaFell saying that he will be back, A.J. Green, that is,
yeah,
this Saturday night.
And I think, you know, I admire A.J. Green. He's very humble, as we know. And it's true. It's real. It's not there's no pretentiousness or anything like that. And he just thinks he's another guy. He's another guy on the team. And, you know, if he's healthy enough and the doctors clear him medically, he's going to play. And he does have some personal incentive. 36 yards receiving would give him 1,000 for his sixth straight year. Randy Moss is the only guy, first 6 years of his career, I should say. Randy Moss is the only guy that's achieved that, and he didn't do it in his seventh year due to injury. And that's the thing, you never know. I mean, A.J. got off to such a great start, even though he's missed five games because he got injured in the second play of the game that he left, so he missed that whole game. He's still, you know, his numbers are still crazy. To have only 36 yards needed to gain 1,000, he's still 14th in the league in receiving yards, and he hasn't played in over a month. It's a testament to what his abilities, but then the fact that he wants to come back and still contribute, I think is a testament to the kind of guy he is and the kind of teammate he is.
It's an interesting week. The Bengals playing on Christmas Eve, a night game in Houston, kickoff around 8:25 at night. In fact, James Free Rolex kickoff time is 8:25. Does anybody pay retail for a diamond anymore? Not at James Free. James Free Jewelers, 9555 Main Street in Old Montgomery. But it's an interesting situation for the players playing a road game on Christmas Eve, getting back around 3 or 4 in the morning. Here is Andrew Whitworth on that topic.
I think, you know, you'd be lying if you said it's not tough. I mean, it's hard to leave the kids and the family on Christmas Eve, but it's part of the job and part of, you know, why we have some of the benefits we have is some of the things you have to do. And so you go and give it your best and all and hope to get back and see your family soon.
Do you tell the kids that Dad's coming down the chimney about the same time as Santa?
No, I'm hoping they'll stay asleep for a minute. Let me get at least like 30 minutes of sleep when I land. But, they'll be excited, and I'll be just as excited as them to see them.
All right, it's the Bengals and Texans this Saturday night in Houston. Coming up next on this show, whenever the Bengals play Houston, it's a treat to talk to one of the great pro football writers of all time, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. He joins us next. You're listening to the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light. We're live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash on 700 WLW. Dan Orton, Dave Lapham, back on the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light. We're live at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash. We still have 13 pairs of tickets to give away.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, to the Bengals-Ravens game coming up to wrap up the regular season at Paul Brown Stadium. You've got to be here to win, so come out and join us between now and 8 o'clock. Again, it's Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill in Blue Ash at the intersection of Cornell and Kenwood. The Bengals take on Houston this week, and we love it when we are able to be joined by one of the great pro football writers in the country,
right,
heading into a matchup against the Texans, and he's kind enough to join us right now. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. John, thanks so much for your time. We always appreciate having you on.
When I was working at the Waco Tribune Herald when I was a sophomore at Baylor, I would go out in my car and drive around Waco at night to listen to the Big Red Machine on WLW, and my lifelong friend Pat Zachary, a pitcher who was co-rookie of the year in 1976,
right,
for the Big Red Machine.
How about that?
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So you are on the big one, 700.
I used to have to drive all over Waco, but I could always pick them up.
Yeah, that's it's awesome. A booming that's signal. Great. We love it. 38 states and parts of Canada when the weather is right. John, let's talk about the quarterback change for the Houston Texans. Certainly unusual to switch quarterbacks when you're tied for first place with two games to go. What was the final straw for Brock Osweiler?
The final straw was Brock threw too many interceptions. Last year they had four starters: Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, T.J. Yates, and Brandon Wheaton. They had 28 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. He has 16. He threw two bad passes against the Jaguars. One bad one, one terrible decision. They're down 13-0. They have to win. O'Brien went to Savage. He got a standing O. And Jacksonville's defense, number 5 in the league coming in. You know, the team's terrible because of the offense, but the defense is pretty good. And Savage gave them a legitimate quarterback who was smooth, confident. He's got a great arm. He made every throw. It was only the second time he'd played other than taking a snap at the end of the game in his debut as a rookie in Indianapolis. He was terrible, so people didn't know what to expect. And right now, everybody is so fired up about Savage because he played so much better than Osweiler.
Well, he's got, John, he's got some weapons at the skill positions where it seemed like the Houston Texans said, we're going to get faster. We need to increase our team speed on the offensive side of things. Lamar Miller, obviously legit the year he's having. Will Fuller out of Notre Dame can run. Braxton Miller on IR now, but people know about him from this area. He can run. Wendell Williams, that name, people are like, Wendell Williams, well, that kid can run. Tyler Irvin, who's he's been involved in the return game, a running back, got him in the draft. So they really went out and they drafted a lot of speed intentionally, obviously.
And Dave, you left one out. A running back named Akeem Hunt had one carry, 19 yards on a 3rd and 17. He ran in the 4.3s at his combine.
Wow.
All those guys you mentioned all ran in 4.4s or 4.3s. Wendell Williams was the kid that had a handheld 4.1 at his regional combine from some small school in Kentucky, Cumberland, or the University of Cumberland. And he had a 32-yard catch from Savage on the Savage's first series. So they used to be like a plow horse plowing a field. and they haven't been able to figure out exactly how to use all the speed yet. But the slowest guy on their offense is DeAndre Hopkins.
That's amazing.
John McClain from the Houston Chronicle is our guest. It's easy to second guess the big contract for Osweiler, considering the seven starts for the Denver Broncos. But how much first guessing was going on locally in Houston when the Texans pulled the trigger on that this offseason?
They were so desperate for another quarterback. Brian Hoyer had one of the worst playoff games in history. They hosted Kansas City after winning division, five turnovers, just some brain dead throws. Throwing interceptions on the 5-yard line, and he was just terrible. They couldn't bring him back and look his teammates in the eye. And Osweiler, they had seen him against them in two preseasons. They had seen him against them in joint practices in Denver, and then they saw every snap last year in a 5-2 with 10 touch 5-2 record with 10 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And he played a lot better in Gary Kubiak's system than he played in Bill O'Brien's system. And I think his contract got so much attention. It weighed heavily on him. He tried to do way too much. He was herky-jerky in the pocket. Every time he did something, it's like he was laboring. He's a great guy. He worked hard. Everybody respects him. He did everything you want in a starting quarterback till he took a snap. And he and Tom Savage are best friends, or wives are best friends. He's a first-class kid who will do everything he can to help Savage. But one reason they weren't sold on Savage when they went after Osweiler, he was hurt as a rookie, his knee. He was hurt last year, shoulder, in preseason. Even this year, 2 weeks ago, he had an infected elbow and was out for a week. So we may not have seen the last of Osweiler on the field, even if Savage is a starter.
Let's flip to the defensive side of things a little bit. John, Romeo Crennel doing a hell of a job. I mean, missing five starters at this point, including the great J.J. Watt, and number one in the NFL in yards per game allowed and number one in first downs allowed. I mean, that's pretty decent stuff right there. Who's been the guys that have really stepped up? Has it just been a collaboration? Everybody do a little so nobody has to do a lot?
Dave, I'm doing a column tomorrow for Friday, and the lead is going to be the Texans' most valuable player is not even a player, and that would be Romeo. He
right.
has done a magnificent job, and it's amazing. Undrafted free agents, undrafted rookie free agents, streak free agents from other teams, he has done a tremendous job. As an example, you know, the first two games, they beat Chicago and Kansas City. They have 9 sacks with Watt in the lineup. Then Watt's done for the year. I think they have, like, 12 in the last 12 games without Watt. And yet they don't get a lot of sacks. They don't get a lot of turnovers. But they're number one in defense, number two in pass defense. They get off the field. They let teams move in the middle of the field, and then they're good. And they say he's done a great job of mixing and matching, of maximizing strengths, minimizing weaknesses, subbing out a lot of players, and figuring out what the offense is doing. Now, Jacksonville's offense is awful. Blake Bortles needs a lobotomy with their new coach so he can start over. He's nothing like he was last year. So they started a group that they didn't have. J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, John Simon, starting strong side linebacker, Jonathan Joseph, corner, Kevin Johnson, a corner, and that's 5 guys you mentioned. And when they came out with the players they had, 2 nose tackles, undrafted rookie free agent up front, Clowney moving the linebacker, a backup inside linebacker, Keem Hunt at outside linebacker, and 2 free agents at safety, and yet they gave up 150 yards. So they've done a really good job of carrying out what he wants them to do. But it's amazing. He has done a masterful job, and they've carried the offense all season.
So what do you gather when you talk to coaches and players, John? What do you think that their expectations are with respect to this football game on Saturday night? How do they think the Bengals are going to come down there?
Well, of course, they're going to say the Bengals are going to come in here wanting to win. You know, Marvin would love to win these last two, finish with 4 out of 5. I don't know if Marvin's job's in jeopardy or not, but there's a lot of talk about that around the country. The Bengals last year, you know, the Texans won up there when they were unbeaten. The Bengals won here 2 years ago. I tell everybody the Bengals should just be glad T.J. Yates is not playing instead of Tom Savage.
Right. Bengal killer.
You're right.
And so the Texans will know about Tennessee before they play that game at night. Now, the Texans, people are saying the game's meaningless if Tennessee beats Jacksonville. That's not true, because the Texans still have a chance, if they could win out and go 10-6, of getting the third seed over Pittsburgh and Baltimore on these complicated tiebreakers. So they will have something to play for. And, of course, you never know how a team is going to react when they're playing for pride like the Bengals. I'm sure they hope that the Bengals, you know, that was such a big game Sunday against their big rival, the Steelers. And, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and Santa Claus won't be coming for the Bengals unless it's the Dalton's house. So you never know how a team is going to react in that situation.
John McClain, you're the best. Great to have you on the show. Look forward to seeing you in the press box on Saturday night.
My pleasure, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners. Thank you very much.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Very much.
Thanks,
that
John.
That is John McClain, with the great pro football writers in the country from the Houston Chronicle, and that was this week's Subaru Sunday Strategy segment. The Bengals always have a strategy, and so should you if you can't make it to an event. Donate your tickets to most valuable kids like the Greater Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Subaru dealers do. Each week, 20 kids get to experience a game at Paul Brown Stadium thanks to Subaru, and you can help. Share the love by donating at mostvaluablekids.org. We need to take a timeout. Coming up, Andy Dalton discusses the first losing season of his life. This is the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, here on 700 WLW.
Bengals only got one sack last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers by Pro Bowler Geno Atkins, giving him 7.5 on the season, which leads all defensive tackles in the NFL, and that was part of the reason he's going to his fifth Pro Bowl of his career. Congratulations to A.J. Green, his sixth straight Pro Bowl. Andrew Whitworth, first alternate, and Kevin Zeitler is a third alternate, and Carlos Dunlap, a second alternate. Congratulations to those guys. But if the Bengals record two sacks in a game, against the Texans, you'll save $6 on Mike's Ultimate Wash the next day, only at Mike's Car Wash, the official car wash of the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike's will also donate $1 of your purchase to the Marvin Lewis Community Fund. So far, raised over $11,400. In fact, $11,488 for the Marvin Lewis Community Fund. So it's a win-win proposition. You save $6 on the Ultimate Wash, and the Marvin Lewis Community Fund grows and helps more people.
We are back at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash at the intersection of Cornell and Kenwood. If you can make it out to join us, you could win tickets to the Bengals-Ravens game to wrap up the regular season a week from Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. We've given away a couple of pairs. We still have 12 pairs of tickets to give away, so you got to be here to win. The show runs until 8 o'clock tonight, again here at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill, not just a great movie theater, but a great restaurant with 50 flat-screen TVs and 40 beers on tap and an extensive menu. Come out and join us between now and 8 o'clock. This is the first time in Andy Dalton's sixth NFL seasons that he will not be part of a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't get to play in the playoffs last year after breaking his thumb, but he was largely responsible for the Bengals making it. And Andy has essentially done nothing but win in his football life. In high school, 26-3 in his 2 years as the starting quarterback at Katy High School near Houston. In college, 42-7 as the starting quarterback at TCU. And with the Bengals, 55-38-2, including four losses in the postseason. It's pretty impressive, but the winning streak of successful seasons ended this year, as the Bengals will not be headed to the postseason. Here is Andy Dalton on a disappointing sixth season as the Bengals starting quarterback.
It's tough. We feel like this year has just been different for us. You know, those close games that we've been winning in the past, we just haven't been able to get over that hump and put that one drive together, get that one stop, whatever it may be, to allow us to win. So I think, you know, this off season, and once this season's over, we'll be able to go back and look at and see all the things that we did well, and because there's obviously some things that we did that did really well this year, but things, the areas that we need to improve in different situations. And so I think, you know, the off season would be big time to take a look at that.
What they didn't do was score when the game was on the line. When they needed a score, they couldn't get it consistently. They did it in the opener against the Jets and couldn't do it again, really, for the rest of the year. It's interesting to compare these two teams because the Texans are tied for first. They have scored fewer points than the Bengals.
Right.
And they have given up more, and they're tied for first in their division.
Exactly. Yeah, their point differential is minus 44. The Bengals' point differential is minus 5. And they're 8-6 and tied for first in their division. They were blown out three times handily. You know, New England shut them out 27-0. Denver beat them 27-9. You know, and those type of scores will hurt your point differential. But the close games, Dan, they've won, you know, all of them. They've won 8 of them. They've won their balance of them. And it's been well documented this week. I mean, the fourth quarter has been fourth quarter blues for the Bengals. They've outscored the opponent in the first, second, third quarter, then been outscored by 27 points in the fourth quarter. They've only scored 51 points by far, their lowest scoring quarter. And they've had 23 drives with the game within a score in the fourth quarter overtime. And in those 23 drives, the Bengals have a grand total of one touchdown, two field goals. So they've got three scores, and they have six turnovers, six giveaways in that time frame. So obviously that has been a problem, to say the least. And hopefully they'll finish this football game in Houston and notch a W. Andy Dalton, by the way, the first time he ever lost three games in a row. He'd never lost more than two in a row. Youth sports, playing Little League, playing, you know, youth basketball, playing Pee Wee. He had never lost more than two games in a row until he got to the National Football League. So he knows of what it takes to win games, that's for sure.
Coming up, the Houston Texans are sending their $72 million man quarterback to the bench this week. Head coach Bill O'Brien tells us why next. You're listening to the Bengals Game Plan Show, live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash. We are presented by Bud Light here on 700 WLW. Dan Orton, Dave Lapham, back on the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash at the intersection of Cornell and Kenwood. Folks filing in to have dinner, to have a beverage, or to check out a movie, this is the place to see Rogue One.
A lot of action. A lot of action happening here tonight.
The latest movie in the Star Wars adventure. I've seen it. No spoilers here, but I'll tell you, this is a great place to come out and see the movie. It is Cincinnati's nicest movie theater with those motorized recliners and the in-seat dining in addition to the great restaurants. So come out and check out Rogue One or any other movie on your list here at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill in Blue Ash. Let's talk about the Houston Texans' $72 million man, Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
They gave him that four-year, $72 million contract this past offseason to be their starting quarterback after he started seven games last year for the Denver Broncos, helping Denver make the playoffs, and then the Broncos won it with Peyton Manning back at quarterback. So Osweiler comes in, and the Texans are tied for first with two games to go, but honestly, he's been abysmal. His passer rating is 71.4. He's thrown 14 touchdown passes. He has 16 interceptions. He's been sacked 24 times. They're stuck with him for at least one more year because he's got $18 million coming next season. But here is Houston's head coach Bill O'Brien on the decision this week to bench Osweiler in favor of Tom Savage, who played three quarters last week and looked good.
When you look at it from the outside, you're exactly right, and we are. You know, we are in the first place. But I think that, overall we need to move the ball better. You know, we can't, you know, turn it over. We can't keep kicking field goals. We have to score touchdowns and trying to give our team a chance to move the ball better. And when Tom went in there, the ball moved. You know, we didn't score a ton of touchdowns, but, you know, the ball moved up and down the field. And so, I felt like he threw the ball well, found the open receiver, got us into the right play in a running game, and I think he deserves a shot to do it again.
Tom Savage came out of the same draft class as A.J. McCarron, and I remember going into that draft, there was the thought that the Bengals were probably going to take a quarterback at some point, and a lot of people said Tom Savage would be the guy because he's kind of the opposite of Andy Dalton.
Right.
You don't know if he's going to be able to process the speed of the NFL game mentally as well as Andy obviously does, but big, strong guy
big
with
arm.
A cannon of an arm.
Exactly, big arm, and he's accurate throwing it. And honestly, Dan, I mean, I was looking at the last three games of the season for the Bengals in the back end. They had 15 interceptions going into the Pittsburgh game, tied for second most in the NFL. Well, Ben had thrown 11. They didn't get Ben at all in that football game. Now they dropped to tied for sixth in the NFL. Some teams have passed them by. But Osweiler had thrown 14. He threw two in the first quarter of the game. He had now 16. I'm thinking, man, it'd be good to have him thrown. Flacco had 12 going into last week. He threw another one for 13. So, you know, they didn't get Ben. Hopefully Savage will be confused by the double-A gap. You know, I guess what you hope is three-quarters is a small body of work. Let's see what now that they have some tape on Savage and Paul Gunther can see what his strengths are and maybe how to attack some of his weaknesses, what they'll come up with. But it's going to be interesting because the move was made for ball security purposes, plain and simple.
And while it's obviously a big deal to change starting quarterback this late in the year and put in a guy who's never started an NFL game before, the key for the Texans is the running game.
Yep.
They're fifth in the NFL at running the ball.
Yep, and they've got a running back that's sixth in the NFL individually, 1,073 yards, I think it is, for Miller, and sixth best. And then, you know, scrimmage yards, he's got 1,261. He's in the top 10. He's 10th in that area, so he's a very accomplished athlete. I mean, he's got speed, he's got moves, he's got he can run routes, he's got good hands. You know, he's one of these complete weapons at the running back position. And that is going to be the key, Dan, because you know, if they run the ball well against the Bengals and they're letting Savage throw it because he wants to, not because he has to, it's going to be a lot tougher to stop that offense. But if they can get him, you know, behind the chains, off schedule, second, third, and long, and now he's throwing the football because he has to throw it. Now, you know, he'll be tested a little bit more, and the Bengals defense can do a lot more things to affect Savage than if he's sitting at second and two, third and one. You know, those are the kinds of downs and distances that are definitely in favor of the quarterback dictating the action.
Here's a quick reminder that tomorrow is Touchdown Thursday at Papa John's. All fans can receive 50% off regular menu price at papajohns.com by using the promo code Bengals50 all day tomorrow at participating locations. Papa John's will donate a portion of the proceeds to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. That's Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up, how has undrafted free agent Alex Erickson become one of the best kick returners in the NFL? I'll ask special teams coordinator Darren Simmons next. You're listening to the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, here on 700 WLW. Here's a quick reminder to stock up on your favorite products by the makers of Pepsi at your local retailer. Grab a Pepsi and some friends and get in the game. Pepsi is the official soft drink of the Cincinnati Bengals. We're back in the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, here on the Bengals Radio Network and 700 WLW. I'm Dan Hoard. He's Dave Lapham. And we are live at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash, giving away tickets to the Bengals game against the Baltimore Ravens. I think we still have 10 pair to give away. Got about an hour and 7 minutes left in the show. So if you are in the area or can get to Blue Ash, come out and join us. You can have a beer. You can have something to eat. And if you're lucky, you'll win tickets to the Bengals-Ravens game.
Not a bad night.
That's for sure.
Not a bad night at all.
It has been quite a good year for rookie wide receiver slash return specialist Alex Erickson, the undrafted rookie out of Wisconsin, thought to be too small, too slow to get it done at the NFL level. Well, he is laughing all the way to the bank in his rookie season because he continues to surprise, particularly as a kick returner. He did it again last week with a 72-yarder against the Pittsburgh Steelers, his third return this year of 60 or more yards. He is second in the NFL in kick return average, 28.7, behind Cordarrelle Patterson of the Minnesota Vikings. Earlier today, I asked special teams coordinator Darren Simmons, how the heck is Alex Erickson doing it?
Well, it's a couple things. I think he's gotten more experience, and we're blocking better for him for sure.
the kicks have been a little bit shorter probably the second half of the year than they were at the beginning of the year. He wasn't getting as many opportunities. And we've kind of settled him with him kind of being the guy there. He's done a good job being decisive. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of indecisiveness or indecision by him. He's catching. He's running hard. And like I said, it's a combination. Anytime you have good returns, it's got to be a result too of good blocking too. But, you know, at the same breath, the returner has to hit the correct hole, run the right track. And, you know, it's just kind of all coming together right now.
And yet, you and he are a little bummed that he didn't take that one to the house last week.
Yeah, well, I said earlier, I thought he was already scored. I turned around to go get the field goal team ready, and you know, just wasn't meant to be the kid. You know, Boswell obviously had a hell of a game kicking field goals, but that was probably his biggest play. And when you look at the end of the game, you know, it's a 4-point difference that he scored right there. We had to kick a field goal. You know, it's a difference in the game. So it was a hell of a play by him, and I think Alex thought the same thing. I thought he was already gone, and you know, it's just one of those things. For whatever reason, we can't buy a touchdown, you know, right now. We should have had two for sure, you know, one there and one against the Giants, and close to having a third one against Washington. But, you know, they're big explosive plays. They help change them in the games, and, you know, hopefully we can get another opportunity this week.
I give you credit, Dave Lapham. Earlier than anybody else, you said, I like this Erickson early in, like, the OTAs and stuff. You were singing the praises of Alex Erickson, and you have proven to be right on the money.
Well, he's a quick study, Dan. I think it means a lot to him. He's a very smart guy, and he set a team record. Nobody in Bengals history has had three returns in the same season of 60 yards or more. So he's proven that he's worth his salt, obviously. And what a return on an investment of an undrafted college player to you know, make plays like he's making. And I think his punt returning is improving as well. He's getting vertical, getting north and south, being very aggressive in his decision making. And I think, you know, Darren made a good point. As the weather's gotten colder, the kickoffs are shorter, the ball's not traveling as far, so he's getting more opportunity to and it's a clearer decision for him. Because, you know, you get those that are 4 or 5 yards deep in the end zone with, how much hang time was it? And now you're unsure. Now from the very beginning, his decisiveness has improved because of the colder weather. It's easier to determine, I'm taking this one out, and I'm getting after it right now. So he's being aggressive from the get-go rather than should I or shouldn't I, and then decide, okay, well, I'm going to. Now I better get upfield and get something done. And the whole process has become much more smooth for him, I think.
And sticking with special teams, a good debut for the new kicker, Randy Bullock, last week. He made all of his kicks against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and kind of a good game for him to join the team on because they were all kind of short and relatively easy. I mean, easy for me
right.
to say, right? But
right.
It's not like he had to hit a 50-yarder at the gun under bad weather conditions. That was a good one for him to kind of get into the swing of things with a new team.
I agree, and now his second opportunity is in a dome. You know, it's December. If it were December in a cold weather site, it'd be a little bit different. So he's familiar with it. He was drafted by Houston. His odyssey continues. You know, he goes back to where it all started for him, drafted by the Houston Texans. We talked about how his odyssey this season, every team that let him go, he ended up kicking against them by another team that picked him up. Now he goes full circle back to the team that originally drafted him, and he's born in Houston. So he's going to have a lot of family and friends around there, too, going to Texas A&M.
No question about it. From Houston, went to Texas A&M, started his NFL career with the Texans, and then got let go after a couple of years, and he's bounced around since, the Jets, the Giants, the Steelers, and now the Bengals. His dad was born in the state of Ohio and went to Ohio State. So he's got some ties to the Buckeye State. His dad has unfortunately passed away when I believe he was in ninth grade. But he's got ties to the Cincinnati area, at least to the Columbus area, I guess more specifically, and obviously big-time ties in Houston.
Right,
so big
right.
game for him this Saturday night.
Love to see him hit a game winner. That'd be sweet sugar right there. There's no doubt. It's interesting. Another guy that I saw Bullock kick at Texas A&M. I also saw Shane Leckler punt at Texas A&M, and oh my gosh! I mean, as a collegiate punter, he put the ball in the stratosphere. I mean, unbelievable hang time, and you knew he was destined for great things in the National Football League. He's had a nice run.
40 years old and still getting it done.
Amazing.
As an NFL punter. Are you or someone you know active in the community? Kroger and P&G are teaming up to bring a community champion to every Bengals home game. We want to hear your story, so send it to us via email. The address is communitychampion@bengals.nfl.net. Coming up, we'll ask a Hall of Fame wide receiver if A.J. Green should come back from his hamstring injury this year, even though the Bengals do not have a chance of making the playoffs. That's up next. You're listening to the Bengals Game Plan Show presented by Bud Light. We are live at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash, and we'll be back in just a moment on 700 WLW.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs.
This is Bengals Game Plan on the Bengals Radio Network. Brought to you by Bud Light. Raise one to right now. This is the Bengals Radio Network.
We are back on the Bengals Game Plan Show presented by Bud Light, live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash. We still have lots of tickets to give away to the Bengals-Ravens game coming up a week from Sunday to wrap up the regular season. You've got to be here to win, so come out and join us at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash. The Horde-Lapham friendship will go to new heights this week. We are spending Christmas Eve together.
Yes.
In a broadcast booth in Houston. And the national radio broadcast, probably one or two booths over, will include one of the greatest wide receivers in NFL history,
an eight-time Pro Bowler.
And a Hall of Famer. We welcome in the great James Lofton. James, happy holidays to you. Thanks for joining us on the Bengals Game Plan Show.
Merry Christmas, and I'm pretty sure that Dave is going to wear that red outfit with the white stuff on it, right?
He wears the Santa costume well.
Yeah, I'll be ho-ho-hoing for sure. Good to hear your voice, my man.
And Thanks, guys.
It sounds like A.J. Green may be returning for this encounter. That it's a 72 degrees in a dome stadium. He's doesn't have to worry about that cold weather trying to come back from that hamstring issue. And it's you can speak to that with the world class speed that you had, as well as your size speed ratio. You were difficult for a lot of defensive backs to try to deal with. Did you ever have a major hamstring injury that you had to come back from, James, that lingered on you a little bit?
I was real fortunate that I didn't. And it's funny because when I look at today's wide receivers, the guy who I kind of think I would most be like is A.J. Green.
Yep.
So I think that he's a little better – like in short area quickness than I was, and the gloves that he has were better than the little spit that I put on my hands. But, I just really enjoy watching him.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Play. I was really disappointed when he went out with the hamstring injury. And that really is about a 4 to 6 week injury to try and get back 100% to be able to stop and start and change the direction the way that you'd like to. So it'll be a test for him. And it'll be a test as to whether or not it can hold up over what really is about a 5-hour window. Because when they first go out for those early warm-ups, when they're out there, especially indoors, they'll be out there early in shorts and running around. And you've got to maintain that, then go out for regular warm-ups, and then for the entire length of the game.
Interestingly enough, you said that you'd never experienced. AJ, I was asking him today, I said, okay, when you pulled your hamstring before, how similar is this to the prior time? I've never done it before. This is the first time I've ever had a hamstring issue. That surprised me a little bit with you guys that have, the speed that you have. And obviously you know how to stretch yourselves out, that's for sure.
The issue that I had, you hear a lot of the guys with the turf toe now. So I had that. I didn't know what it was at the time because they didn't have a name for it. And then that little midfoot sprain, I had one of those real late in my career trying to make a move in the RCA Dome against the Colts. I made a great move. The guy fell, and then I fell right after I made the move, so it didn't do me any good.
Hall of Fame wide receiver James Lofton is our guest. Let me ask you this question. Should A.J. Green be coming back, considering that the Bengals are out of playoff contention?
He should come back if the medical staff feels that he's 100% healthy. And because you don't want to go into the offseason when you're away from the facility, when you had some other plans, and have this lingering over your head. You know, when the season's over and it's going to end prematurely for the Bengals, because here's a team that obviously you guys know, you know, 5 straight years in the postseason. That's pretty special. And it's funny, when you have a run like that, you don't really appreciate it until it ends.
Right.
You know, you just think, hey, well, we start the season. Our goal is to win the division, get in the playoffs, you know, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, things don't go according to plan. And you start to go, okay, so what happens now? And so I think now it's like instead of going for an annual physical, now you got a semi-annual physical because you had an issue and you got to find out what's wrong with the team.
That's a great analogy. Talk about the receiver for the Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins. Totally different style of receiver than A.J. Green, but obviously very effective. Do you like Hopkins' game?
I'm warming up to it. And I know he had a huge year last year, and this year not so much, you know, the change in quarterbacks and some of those things. But I'll go back to A.J. Green. Mm-hmm. A.J. Green's ability to stop, start, change direction, I think is unparalleled for a tall receiver.
Right.
He moves like a guy who's 5'10". When I watch DeAndre Hopkins, his is, you know, I'm going to run this route, I'm going to go to 14 and I'm going to break out. I'm not going to try and really make a move on the corner. I'm not going to set him up much. There's not a lot of sophistication in his route running. Now, hopefully his family members who live up in the Cincinnati area aren't listening to me bash him, but you know, that's just the way it is.
James Lofton is our guest. You've done several Bengals games since Andy Dalton has been the starting quarterback.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about Andy, and have they evolved over the last 6 years?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how I came up with this kind of measuring stick, but I had this 40-game rule when I started looking at quarterbacks and whether or not they had started as rookies or started playing in their rookie year or second year or whatever. After 40 games, which is really 2.5 seasons, you can kind of tell. You can say, this is a guy that we want to move forward with, and after this next season, we're going to franchise him or extend his contract and all that. So when Andy Dalton got to about 2.5 years, because there were people going, oh, he's just a second-round pick, and maybe it's the system and all that, you just saw this growth in him. You saw him, you know, take the mantle upon himself. You know, and I'm not looking at the postseason losses because those happen. But he got you there. And the consistent play, week in, week in, out, year in, year out, I've been impressed with. Is he a top five quarterback? Maybe not. But is he better than 50% of the guys in the league? Definitely. And does he give you the chance to win each week, no matter who the other quarterback is on the other sideline? I think he does.
Let's talk about the quarterback that just got benched down in Houston, Brock Osweiler, in favor of Tom Savage. How big a fan were you of Brock Osweiler? Are you surprised at how it's unfolded down there, or did you think, I saw this coming?
Well, and Dave, you've been in this situation where you go down on the field pregame or you're at training camp or whatever, and you're talking to guys, and you build a rapport with them.
Right.
Years ago, my family, we took a trip to Kalispell, Montana, which is really where Brock is from. So every time I would see him, I would mention that, you know, I had vacationed where he grew up, and we kind of got this rapport going, and I watched him play. I watched him be a backup. And when he was with the Denver Broncos, Greg Knapp, who was his quarterback coach, was also the offensive coordinator the 1 year I coached with the Raiders. So we built this relationship. So I'm watching him. I'm kind of pulling for him. The pressure of going to a new team, being the face of the franchise, and then leaving a Super Bowl team for more money.
Right.
Because it wasn't about which is the better fit for you. It was about where am I going to make the most money? Where am I going to get the biggest bang for my buck? And you know, Dave and I are from a different era, and we don't understand the difference between $50 million and $70 million. We understand that, we understand the difference between $50 and $70.
Right.
But $50 million and $70 million, you know, that's kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around, because we take either one.
Right.
And so we would take 50 and probably stay in Denver and think, I've got a great defense here. I like the receivers I'm throwing to,
yeah.
And I can do something here also. So, you know, you go to Houston, and so much is expected of you, and it's to take that team from 9-7 to 12-4, and he wasn't able to do that.
What about, final question, appreciate you giving us the time, as you always do, James, you're the best. Romeo Crennel, is he a candidate for assistant coach of the year, what he's done with that defense down there, in the absence of J.J. Watt?
Yeah, I love Romeo Crennel for a lot of reasons, for kind of the man he is away from the sidelines. He's really a solid guy, and he cares about his players. And you can see that in these guys who step up when somebody goes down. And you're right, J.J. Watt going down, you thought that there would be this terrific hole in this defense. But no, I mean, you start looking at the numbers, and everything they do, first in the NFL in total yards, first in fewest first downs given up, second
right.
in net passing,
right.
the third downs, and the creative pressures. I'm sure, Dave, if you were on the offensive line for the Bengals, you'd just call timeout a couple of times when they start to move. You go, hey, you guys stand still because we need to try and block you.
Right, right. Recognition and communication is going to be a big deal in that noisy stadium. You're right on that.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, big reason why Houston 6-1 at home. James, always appreciate you having you on the show. Travel safe to Houston, and we will see you there.
I look forward to seeing you guys.
Thanks, James.
That is Hall of Fame wide receiver James Lofton, kind enough to join us tonight here on the Bengals Game Plan Show. We're going to take a timeout. Coming up, Houston is tied for first in the AFC South with two games to go and has decided that's the perfect time to change quarterbacks. We'll hear from the new guy, Tom Savage, next. This is the Bengals Game Plan Show presented by Bud Light. We're live at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash on 700 WLW. Dan Orton, Dave Lapham, back on the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash at the intersection of Cornell and Kenwood. We still have some tickets to give away. We appreciate the Bengals fans who have been with us tonight. And can you folks give a round of applause to my man Mike Mills?
Yes, sir.
Our on-site engineer, the one hardworking member of this crew who sets everything up every week. Mike, thank you very much. Interesting game coming up on Christmas Eve night in Houston. The Bengals taking on a Texans team tied for first in their division with Tennessee and changing quarterbacks in the next to last game of the regular season. Brock Osweiler has struggled. He's got a passer rating in the low 70s. So in steps, third-year pro Tom Savage. Started out his college career at Rutgers, wound up at Pittsburgh. He was Tyler Boyd's quarterback early in his college career at Pitt. And now here he is ready to start a critical NFL game, the next to last game of the regular season for the Houston Texans. Here he is on that opportunity, Tom Savage.
This is any childhood dream, you know. Like I said, this is a heck of an opportunity. I'm going to prepare as hard as I can, and I'm going to have some fun along the way and just go out there and rip it and hope for the best. You know, we're gonna go out there and we're going to play fast, and that's kind of our mindset.
How much confidence did you gain by how well you did last week?
I mean, obviously going out there and getting some game experience was huge. Just from when my last play was probably close to 800 days ago, felt good to finally get back out there and get in the swing of things and get hit a few times. And just the confidence of the team, you know, they really rallied around me, and that's kind of what helped out a lot, was just the guys' support and the huddle and guys going out there and making some plays.
Tom Savage passed for 260 yards against a pretty good Jacksonville defense, but before Houston fans get real excited about the whole thing, didn't throw any touchdown passes, but also did not throw any picks.
Right, and that's the big thing, I think. You know, Coach O'Brien said we're not scoring enough, but we're turning over too much, and you don't want those giveaways, you don't want those turnovers. You know, it's interesting, they are struggling to score. Hopkins has got 25 third down catches. So he's got 68 total.
25 on third down, tied for third most in the NFL. Not one of his 25 third down catches have resulted in a touchdown. So, you know, those third down catches, you like them. They're even doubly valuable when third down plays become touchdown plays, but hasn't happened. So both teams, you know, same type of thing, struggling to score touchdowns and at the most opportune time of the football game. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that unfolds. I've never seen an offensive team, when they brought a quarterback in at home, quiet the crowd because they're going nuts when they decided to make the change. And it's like, wait, make it. We want to hear. We got a young guy. He's coming into the football game off the bench, cold. You know, let's let him operate in some kind of silence here, you know. I've never seen the entire huddles like turning around and looking at the crowd, like quieting them down, waving their arms to quiet them down. It was a weird dynamic down there.
DeAndre Hopkins beat the Bengals last year. Yep. They were the last undefeated team in the NFL at the time, and he made that catch on Monday Night Football right by the forward left pylon, managed to go up and over
Adam Jones
yep. and do an unbelievable job to come down with the ball and get his feet in bounds.
And Adam was mad after the fact that he, because he was, like you said, Dan, right on the sideline of the end zone, side of the end zone, and when he went airborne, Adam's like, I should have just pushed him out of bounds, because you can do that now. It's no more is it verticality rule. If he hadn't pushed him, would he come down about it? That doesn't matter. He has to get his feet, both feet, back in bounds, whether the defensive player pushes him or not. So Adam's like, I should have just pushed him, and he wouldn't have gotten that touchdown pass.
The Texans are number one in the NFL at fewest yards allowed on defense, even though they have not had three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt, for most of this season. But they do have the former number one overall pick in the draft, Jadeveon Clowney. He is finally healthy. He was named to his first Pro Bowl yesterday. And Bengals offensive players who have been watching that Houston tape this week have come away raving about Jadeveon Clowney. Here's Bengals wide receiver Brandon LaFell.
They got a dude that wore number 90, and he played just as good as J.J. Watt, man. He's coming into his own right now, and it's going to be scary when Watt get back out there with him next year, because this man, he's making play after play. What is in the pass game is, if he's not getting a sack, he's getting the pressure, or he's having a quarterback step into somebody else getting a sack, which is Merciless 59, or in the run game, he's just beating the tackle off the line, swim moving, man. That guy, he's playing lights out football right now, and I just hope the guy continue to stay healthy, because he's a great young guy.
Genetic freak.
Yes, he is, man. I think he's 6'6", long arms, got speed like a linebacker. He's quick, man, and he's powerful. Well, I'm saying, we be watching film, and one play, he'll speed rush a guy. Next play, take a step like he's going to speed rush, and bull rush him, run straight through the guy. The guy just has so many moves. He's so powerful. He's so fast that he's gifted. And that's something, a lot of things he do you can't coach.
Because Clowney has been injured for much of his first two seasons, the Texans have taken some hits. People have said, they should have taken Khalil Mack.
Right.
They would have been so much better off. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I just remember before that draft, we always sit down and talk to Duke Tobin, the Bengals director of player personnel and the guy largely responsible for their draft board every year. And, he was drooling about Jadeveon Clowney going into that draft.
And that's the thing is James Lofton was talking about, with A.J. Green's size and length, for him to be able to stop and start and change direction like he does is unusual. You know, usually you see that on a 5'10" guy. Same thing with Clowney. You know, Brandon LaFell was just talking about his speed and his quickness. I mean, the guy is long and you know, lithe, and he still has that short space quickness, which is rare. Usually it's on a more compact frame than this long guy, and he can convert speed to power as well as anybody. Five quarterback sacks, which is tied for second most on the team. They have three players with five or more sacks, but he's also got 15 tackles for loss and 16 quarterback hurries. So those are the things that when you add that all in, he's showing up. You know, he's showing up on a lot of snaps as you watch tape, and when we talked to Marvin earlier this week, Dan, recording the show, Bengals Weekly, he said Clowney is having an unbelievable season, and you know he's playing as well as anybody is at defensive end. So he just jumps off the tape at you.
The website ProFootballFocus.com lists Clowney as an outside linebacker as part of their 3-4 defense. They have him ranked as the ninth best 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL. They have his teammate, Whitney Mercilus, ranked as the sixth best 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL.
You know, and Merciless is pretty much that. You know, he really gets after you, and he's got 5.5 sacks. He's got 11 tackles for loss and 19 quarterback pressures and 4 fumble recoveries. So, you know, he's got a nose for the football. When the football's on the ground, this guy's around it making plays. So that's a pretty good tandem right there. And imagine if J.J. Watt still was in the mix. Woo, man, that'd be a heck of a D.
Here's a quick reminder to visit Bengals.com/TriHealth throughout the season for the weekly edition of Living Better with TriHealth. This week, learn about the benefits of acupuncture. You're listening to the Bengals Game Plan Show. We are live at Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash at the intersection of Cornell and Kenwood. If you are in the area and can make it out in the next half hour, we've still got some tickets to give away to the Bengals regular season finale against the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to take a timeout from the show here momentarily, and when we come back, it'll be a special holiday edition of Fun Facts with Bengals president Mike Brown.
It's a nice one, Dan. You did a great job on this.
Always enjoyable stuff, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, here on the Big One, 700 WLW. Welcome back to the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill here in Blue Ash. Each year at this time, Bengals president Mike Brown has been kind enough to join me for a Fun Facts interview as we look back at his life in football. We're tentatively planning to do that again next week for the final game of the regular season, but tonight we thought you would enjoy an encore presentation of one of my visits with the Bengals president. Time for some fantastic fun facts with Bengals owner Mike Brown. Mike, folks know about your father's career in pro football, but when you were between the ages of 6 and 8, he was the head coach at Ohio State. What do you remember about those early years in Columbus?
Well, there are a lot of memories. The Ohio State team in those years tied Michigan, and that was in 1941. The score was 20-20. My father used to explain why he called a timeout when the Michigan place kicker was to kick the extra point that would win the game. People said, well, you were way ahead of your time. You froze the kicker. And he said, no, that's really not why I did it. I just couldn't stand the thought of losing, and this postponed it for a few more moments. I could go on like that for 2 hours. I was very young, but very involved in the sense that I paid strict attention. Sum it up by saying it was a wonderful time in my life, and I think back upon those years fondly.
So at age 11, your father becomes the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in the new AAFC. How much did he allow you to be around the team when you were that young?
Well, I was always allowed to be around. I don't know why that was, but my father permitted me to just hang around. I could sit in on the coaches' meetings. I could be at practices. And over at the dorm, the team dorm during training camp, whether I was allowed to or not, I would sneak upstairs. And my friends were Bill Willis, Marion Motley, and Horace Gillum. They were the three African-American players. In those days, they called them colored players on the Browns. And they didn't go out so much. This was in Bowling Green.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
And the other guys would go out at night and see what could be found. But those three guys had really nowhere to go. They'd stay in their rooms. And I would go up there on occasions, and they treated me very, very kindly. I was just a youngster, but they would let me play hearts with them, and I have the fondest memories of that. the goal would be to put the Queen of Spades on Marion Motley, who would just have an explosion. I think this was all done to kid me and impress me to see how I would react. I would be bug-eyed, you know, at that kind of thing. And I loved those guys. They were people I admired then, and they were heroes to me for all my life.
You went on to play quarterback at Dartmouth and made the pages of Sports Illustrated in 1956. The story referred to one of your whistling passes and said that your fakes were, quote, worthy of your papa's quarterbacks. Give me a scouting report on Dartmouth quarterback Mike Brown.
Well, my passes might have whistled, but they weren't very accurate. I was lucky to play. It was a great experience. Those guys were wonderful guys, and I think of them a lot. They're close to my heart to this day. It was just a great experience. It was the best time in my college days, and I've always thought that guys who get to play college football, high school football, any kind of football, have a wonderful team experience, and they learn things that they really don't learn as well in any other way. They learn teamwork, they learn success, they learn how to handle failure. They learn a little bit about themselves and how to interact with people. And they make great friends. And I was lucky I had that experience and had many wonderful friends from it.
We're doing fun facts with Mike Brown. You had a summer job once where your boss was the boss, George Steinbrenner. What was he like to work for?
Well, George was kind to hire me. I worked on one of the lake freighters that his family owned. And one time, George flew in. We were in port somewhere. I don't remember where. And he came to make a talk to the the seamen or whatever we were called on a lake freighter. And he was trying to dissuade them from unionizing. And he got us all together, and he made a stem-winding speech. And afterwards, he treated me a little differently. He called me aside. I was sort of from his same social background, I guess. And he was telling me how well he thought it all went and how impressed everybody had to be with his speech. Well, I knew better. You know, they were buying that speech. But I don't think I indicated that to him. He was a nice person to me. Because of that, I was always fond of him. And later in life, when our team would go down to Tampa, George owned a hotel down there. And we always made sure we stayed at that hotel just because George owned it. And in some small way, that was a way for me to repay what he had done for me many, many years before.
Let's fast forward to the Bengals years. I'm going to mention two moments in franchise history, one great, one tough to stomach. The good one, the Freezer Bowl. What are your most vivid memories of that day?
It would be something that no one else would know or care about. Maybe a couple things. Before the game, Gene Klein came to me. I suppose he thought I was a soft spot. He didn't want to try his luck with my father, and he suggested that we call the commissioner and cancel the game or postpone it. Maybe we could even move it to San Diego. He thought that might be
nice
all right. Even I wasn't so stupid to buy that. The other thing I always remembered most fondly is that my daughter Katie and her friends showed up early that day. They would put up these bed sheet signs around the facing of the upper deck and the lower deck, too. And they had such things on them as Turk Lurks. That was for Turk Schoner. And it went on, and that way they would show their backing for our players with little different slogans of that style. And there they were out in the cold putting up their banners, and they did that for an hour or two before the game. And everyone complained about how cold it was, but they never complained at all. And I was most impressed by that. It was a great moment for us. It sent us to the Super Bowl. I remember how they didn't like it. You could see when the Chargers came out on the field, they just reacted to the cold. And Fouts, who was a great quarterback, their quarterback, would throw the ball in that cold weather. It was so cold that the air seemed heavy and the ball wouldn't go through the air in a normal fashion. It was like throwing into a wind. It would just stop. Kenny had practiced in this for a couple weeks here. He knew it. He knew how to handle it, Kenny Anderson, and he didn't try to do more than he should. Fouts made the mistake of thinking he could do what he normally could do, and of course that didn't work. And it turned out to our advantage.
The second Bengals game, Super Bowl 23, Montana to Taylor with 34 seconds left. Is that the game that hurts the most?
Well, the one that hurt the most was the first one we lost in Detroit to the 49ers. We were actually, I think, I always will think, the better team, but we lost. We turned the ball over too many times, and we couldn't make up for that. I remember driving back to the hotel with my father after the game, and I never had a headache like I had that day. I genuinely remember hurting badly. The second one, we weren't the better team, but we hung in there, and we had a chance to win. At the end, Lewis Billups had an opportunity to intercept a ball in the end zone. It went right into his stomach, and he didn't catch it. We dropped it, and we lost the game. But we fought hard in that game. Both teams were memorable teams to me, and I have wonderful memories about both of them. We might not have won our chances at the Super Bowl, but those teams were special, and they're still that in my mind.
At the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one of your father's old hats is on display, along with a play sheet and one of his scouting reports. What keepsakes do you have from his legendary career?
Well, I do have some. I don't do much of anything with them. I have his original contract when he signed with the Cleveland Browns, for example. One time I got a call on the phone, and some dealer said to me that he had a copy of my father's original contract, and he wanted to know if I would be interested in buying it. And I had the privilege of saying to him, no, I don't think so. I have the original, thanks. But I have another keepsake that means a lot to me. He wore the same wristwatch much of his adult life. It was the watch that was given to him by his team at the Great Lakes Naval Training Station during World War II, after they beat Notre Dame in their last game ever. The team was disbanded after World War II, but they walloped Notre Dame, who was a big-time team in those days even. And this was something of a surprise. It wasn't so much of a surprise to my father. He often said that there were two or three games during his life where he thought his teams really just played as well as he could ever have hoped, and that was one of those games.
Last question. I read a biography of your dad where it described an incident when you were 4 years old. Did you really jump off a garage pretending to be Superman and break your leg?
That one has lived with me for a long time. And it's true, but it is highly exaggerated. I was 5 years old. I was wearing a cape, which was a towel tied around my neck, and I was in my skivvies. In those days, people didn't worry much about turning their kids out to play, even like that. And, of course, I was barefooted, and I jumped off this garage to see how far I could jump. I remember that. It wasn't in an attempt to fly, as it was said later, or jumping out of a two-story window. And the garage was built into a hillside, so where I jumped was about 1 foot from the ground. It was true, though, that I ended up crashing onto a flagstone when I hit and broke my leg. And what I remember about all that is that my father came to visit me in the hospital. This was after my mother called and told him what had occurred. And he told my mother, "I thought I told you not to ever call me off of the practice field unless it was important." And when he got to the hospital, I said to him, and I thought I was telling a joke, at least in my mind, "I bet you're glad it wasn't Horace Gillum, who was the star player for the Massillon Tigers at the time." And that got carried, too. So I became a media source at a very young age, and it didn't go well for me even then.
I think that's a good note to wrap things up on. I really appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Dan. Thank you.
Up next, tonight's episode of The Last Lap, as we reach into Dave Lapham's memory bank and look back at some legendary players and coaches from Houston. This is the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, here on the Bengals Radio Network.
Home security is more than protecting property from theft. It means controlling my home from anywhere and knowing my loved ones are safe. That's why I rely on Corson Home Security. Visit Bengals.com/Corson to learn more and for home security discounts.
This holiday, take a test drive during the Mazda Drive for Good event, and we'll give back an hour of our time to local causes. Buy any new Mazda, and we'll donate to a charity you choose. Because driving matters most when you're driving for good. Mazda. Driving matters.
Support the Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 years plus to participate. Begins November 21st and ends January 3rd, 2017. A $150 donation will be made for each qualifying purchase or lease. Visit MazdaUSA.com/driveforgood for minimum charity donations and complete details.
Hey, Mark, your 9:30 appointment is here.
I gotta reschedule. How does next spring sound?
Putting things off until you've had your coffee makes you a procrastinator. Fortunately, McDonald's Dollar Any Size McCafe coffee is here. Any size, all day. Made with 100% Arabica beans. So get your McDonald's Dollar Any Size McCafe coffee today.
Let's do this.
And stop procaffeinating. Price and participation may vary. Limited time only. A la carte only. Offer valid on Hot Drip McCafe coffee only.
You got your Bengals jersey, your Bengals throw blankets, your Bengals mugs, your Bengals bed sheets, your Bengals china set, your lucky Bengals t-shirt that's totally worked every season. You thought about naming your kid after your running back. You settled for your dog instead. And this Sunday, you're going to have your team on another important part of game day. Beer. Introducing Bud Light Bengals Team Cans, the only beer that loves football as much as you do. Bud Light, beer with your team. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Switching to Geico could save you hundreds of dollars on car insurance, which is great because then you would have a smaller bill, and everyone likes having a smaller bill, unless you're a duck trying to pick up breadcrumbs. Then it's annoying.
East Side, West Side. There's a side to Cincinnati that's unmistakable. We have our own style, Cincinnati style. And that makes Gold Star Chili part of the fabric that makes our city so unique. Fresh, local ingredients from hometown companies. A neighborhood tradition. This is Gold Star Chili. Pure Cincinnati and proud of it.
Gold Star Chili. This is Cincinnati flavor.
Gold Star Chili. The flavor of Cincinnati.
When the Bengals win, you win at Papa John's.
That's right, Lap. The day after any Bengals win, you can get 50% off regular menu price on your entire order at PapaJohns.com. Just enter promo code Bengals50. That's Bengals50.
Save 50% the day after every Bengals win. You can't beat that.
Only at Papa John's, official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
Offer valid during the 2016 season. Not valid with other discounts. Prices, participation, and delivery area may vary. Taxes and delivery fee extra.
Dan Orton, Dave Lapham back on the Bengals Game Plan Show, presented by Bud Light, live from Envision Cinemas Bar and Grill in Blue Ash. And again, thanks to their hospitality throughout the season. Time for the last lap. The Bengals getting set to take on Houston on Christmas Eve. And Lap, during your playing days, you faced Houston twice a year. It obviously wasn't the Texans back then. It was the Houston Oilers.
Absolutely. And Bum Phillips and the Houston Oilers were big competition for sure. They had a lot of great players, Hall of Famers, and they were sprinkled all over that roster.
All right, we are going to focus in on five former Houston Oilers, either players or coaches. And since you mentioned the name Bum Phillips, let's start with him, the coach slash GM who wore that trademark cowboy hat on the sidelines.
And he was definitely a player's coach. I mean, players absolutely love Bum Phillips. They'd go through hell in a gasoline suit for Bum Phillips. There's no question about it. And I thought he had the greatest line of any guy ever in pro football history when they lost to the Miami Dolphins. And in talking about Don Shula, he said he can take his'n and beat urine. He can take urine and beat his'n. Didn't matter what he had for personnel. He was going to adapt his philosophy of football to it. And Bum Phillips, I think, was underrated, you know, as a football coach. He was such a big personality that everybody just, you know, looked at the cowboy boots and the cowboy hat and the off shucks, golly gee, you know, and didn't realize this guy was a razor-sharp football coach. Forrest Gregg had a great line about Bum Phillips. He said, guys, don't be fooled by Bum's personality. He's going to, you know, country you to death, you know, but the only cotton he's picked is out of his navel. Let me tell you that right now.
And we should probably clarify when Bum Phillips referred to urine, he was referring to your players.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's get to a great former Houston Oilers player, Curly Culp. You know, I looked him up today. They listed him at 265 pounds. Was that right?
Didn't seem like it. I'm not sure. He was 6 feet tall, and he had long arms, and they were like telephone poles. They really were. He was Hall of Famer. Took him a while longer, I thought, than it should have to get into the Hall of Fame, but he was a dynamic player. He was a heavyweight wrestling champion in college, and you know, he was, so he had tremendous balance. You couldn't get him off center with that weight distribution of his, and he was tough. He was the prototypical nose guard. He was the first real true nose guard in the National Football League. The Oilers picked him up from the Kansas City Chiefs, and they wanted to go to the 3-4 defense and put somebody on the center. That was the guy. I mean, he was an immovable object, and unfortunately, Blair Bush got hurt, and I finished the game against the Chargers playing an even front, a 4-3 defense with the centers uncovered, and I was just chasing linebackers. Well, my first start at center was against Curly Culp, and we brought Bob Johnson back to deep snap because I'd never deep snapped in my life. And so I set this little thing up with Kenny Anderson. I was going to fake an injury, and that I rolled my ankle and I couldn't play, and Bob had to go play against Curly Culp again, and Bob had lost a lot of weight already. And you should have seen the color just – fall out of Bob Johnson's face, and we pulled that out. Had the trainer involved, everybody. I'm going to go behind the bench, and the trainer's faking, you know, spat my shoe up like another tape job, and Bob Johnson just like about ready to die. And we just told him it was all in good fun, and he didn't think it was too funny.
Curly Culp was one of Houston's all-time great defensive players. Another was Elvin Bethea, 8-time Pro Bowler and another Hall of Famer.
Yeah, great, great player. And he and Anthony Munoz had some stirring battles, and I remember one time pulling from the right guard position to trap Elvin Bethea, and he read it right away, closed down inside, and we had a big collision, you know, similar to the Vontaze Burfict DeCastro collision that happened, but a little bit higher, wasn't that low to the ground. But we hit, like, you know, head-to-head, and I definitely got rung, and I was thinking, hoping he might have too, but and I looked at him, and I was trying to say to him, if you think you hurt me, you didn't, but I couldn't say anything because my teeth had gone through my lip. I didn't wear a mouthpiece, which was stupid, but I didn't have a mouthpiece in. So my lips hooked up on my teeth, and I'm like, trying to tighten. He just starts laughing. And so I slid my lip off my teeth, and it just started bleeding all over the place and just swelled up like a balloon and looked like inflate to 13.5 pounds and be full. But, I mean, if I shook my head up and down, signaling yes, affirmative, my lip would have hit my, you know, my waist to my forehead. It was so big. It was ridiculous. And so I went in, and they put everything back inside that had come out and stitched it up and, you know, just played that game with that mouth all torn up. And I wasn't real popular when I got home that night, that's for sure.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch. It's a crazed dog.
This is Bengals Game Plan on the Bengals Radio Network. Brought to you by Bud Light. Raise one to right now. This is the Bengals Radio Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.